Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about E3 2018 leaks. And we are recording this episode on the 6th of June 2018, which is just about 4 days before E3 2018 begins. So, first of all, we expect the Microsoft announcement to feature several games, and the leaks suggest that we'll see Forza Horizon 4, something about Gears of War and Halo, apart from a bunch of other games. As far as Sony is concerned, we'll be talking about leaked games such as The Last of Us 2, which is not The Last of Us Remastered, and Spider-Man, Days Gone, and other games which have either been confirmed or we expect at E3 2018. And finally, with Nintendo, we'll be speaking about games such as Smash Bros., Fortnite, and Pokemon 2019, although I really don't know why we're talking about that. But yeah, that's a part of it. And to do all of these things, we have our games editor, Rishi Alwani.
Yeah, so to correct you, it's episode 74. Yes, we're one away from 75. And with regards to, if you're the sort expecting to be surprised and delighted with what E3 has to offer, well, prepare to have your expectations dashed. And with us is friend of the podcast, Mike.
Mikhail Madnani.
Soon we'll have more episodes of the podcast than the Xbox One would have sold in the last year in India.
Oh, I thought you'd make a frame rate joke, but yeah, that works just fine. So anyway, E3 begins later this week, Saturday. Even though officially it starts from the 10th to the 12th, it actually begins earlier because of EA's conference that takes place a day or two before E3. And Microsoft takes place a day after that. I mean, with a one-day gap on Sunday and a day after that. Followed by Bethesda, then you have Square Enix, Ubisoft, and then rounding off with Sony and Nintendo. Now, what's happened is, more so this year than any other year in recent memory, we've seen a ton of leaks on what to expect. And every conference has had one leak or another, some of them conflicting, some of them not conflicting. We've decided to round up the most realistic and possible realistic and most possible games that'll and feature sets that should make their way to E3 2018.
But, take everything we say with a pinch of salt, because we are sort of speculating ahead of the launch. And even though this is based on reliable sources that have come up with like valuable information, accurate information in the past, it still is not announced. So everything could change by the time the keynotes begin.
Yeah, that's one thing to keep in mind, that you could see some of this information change. And while Pranay says grain of salt, that's being generous. I'd say with a massive loot crate of salt that paradrops from the sky, PUBG style.
At 60 FPS.
There we go.
Only on Xbox One X.
Enhanced.
Exclusive.
So yeah, to start off with, we'll talk about what to expect from Microsoft at E3 2018. Now, for those of you who've been following E3 in the last few years, Microsoft has used E3 to show off not just new games, but new hardware, new features for the Xbox lineup. It's the place where they debuted the Xbox One S. It's where they actually revealed the Xbox One X, aka Project Scorpio. It's also the place where they showed off some cool features like backwards compatibility for the first time back in 2015. So it's safe to say we should see some more features added. One of the rumored features is, and this comes from a really reliable source at Windows Central, that we should see integration with Google Assistant and Amazon's Alexa coming to Xbox One.
Yeah, this is the kind of feature that makes me not want to buy the Xbox at all, because frankly, we've had enough of these personal assistants roaming around in the house and recording everything you say. I'd rather not have one more thing.
I don't know about that. Like, I think having Google Assistant is a lot better than having Cortana, because Google Assistant is actually useful to most people. So for them, it's good, because most people would use Google stuff more than they would Microsoft stuff. But having this on a console, like, I mean, I don't even use the voice control on the Apple TV when I use that, because the remote works fine. And like, I already have a media remote for the Xbox One to use that stuff. So this just feels like a waste of time. I'd even view it as lower priority than Discord. This having Discord on the Xbox One is like good and all, because like people can see what you're playing and you can talk to them and all. And Discord is popular amongst gaming circles and all. But having Alexa and Google Assistant, this kind of feels like the things you'd see in 2013 on Xbox One, and not a post, like in a post Phil Spencer world on Xbox. Feels like the kind of thing, although maybe this is something which they wanted to get out or will be announced before the event and not at the event, where they'd where there are rumors that they would be talking about a lot of Japanese games, because that's been one of the big or hot topics for Xbox's conference, that we'd see more JRPGs or something like that.
Yeah, so, and in fact, that actually brings us to the next point of conversation. One is the games. Now, again, this generation, you can count the number of good Xbox exclusives on one hand.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 3 and just a truckload of disappointment.
Forza Horizon 2.
I mean, I'd say Halo 5, but that's just me. So, it's safe to say that Microsoft has a lot of explaining to do. And this is the year where it hopefully comes together. It's make or break where games are concerned. One obvious game that's going to be there, which is definite, is going to be Crackdown 3. We should see more of it. Hopefully get a release date. That's one. In addition to this, we should be seeing new releases in Halo. Now, the last Halo game was Halo 5 Guardians, which didn't have the best reception, particularly in terms of single-player campaign, which is super divisive. The rumor is the next Halo game is going to be called Halo Infinity. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. You might think because it's called Halo Infinity, because it's rumored to be Halo Infinity rather, it's going to be Battle Royale. Well, here's a spoiler for you. Infinity is a name of a ship in Halo, and in Halo 5, it plays a real crucial role towards the end. So there's a good chance that from a narrative standpoint, the game just bounces off what happens on Halo 5.
So no Marvel tie-up then?
No, sadly. No Infinity Gauntlets, no Marvel
and
tie-up.
And no Call of Duty tie-up either.
No Call of Duty, sorry. So that's one possibility. And it's already been hinted that 343 Industries is working on a new Halo game. That's something the community manager said after fans outraged over the fact that there's going to be a Halo arcade game, but there's been no news of a new Halo mainline title. In addition to this, we should be seeing Gears of War take some big strides. According to sources speaking of Polygon, there might be 3 Gears of War games announced. One being a shooter, another one being Battle Royale, and a third being an RTS like Halo Wars. Now, I'm very intrigued to see how they are able to pull off a strategy game in the Gears of War universe. I mean, simply because we got a sense of scale on what the series can do with Gears of War 2, which is way back in, I think, 2008. It was really good in terms of scale and really nice vistas. And Microsoft has a really good working relationship with Creative Assembly, the guys who made Halo Wars. Halo Wars 2. So we might see, who knows, we might see them collaborate again on this. And the thing is, Gears of Wars, the fiction of Gears of War actually lends itself quite well to a Company of Heroes style of sci-fi game. So who knows, maybe that's a possibility. And Battle Royale seems quite obvious because at the end of the day, everyone seems to be doing one. Everyone wants to do one. So, we wouldn't be surprised to see that. Other rumors point to a new Splinter Cell game at Microsoft's event. Splinter Cell is basically a stealth franchise that Ubisoft launched way back in 2001. And at the time, it was a timed exclusive for Xbox. The first game was a timed exclusive for Xbox, the original Xbox. And of late, the series has been hiatus after 2013's Splinter Cell Blacklist. We haven't seen a new game starring Sam Fisher in a long, long while. However, of late, we've been seeing a couple of things come together. One, Clint Hawking, the series, one of the designers instrumental for the making of the series, returned to Ubisoft after working at Amazon and Valve. Second thing is, we've seen that Sam Fisher has made an appearance in Ghost Recon Wildlands. With a mission, timed mission, which players could partake in. So who knows? We might just see a new announcement at E3. It's about time. Personally, I'd love to see a new Splinter Cell game. Blacklist was really, really good. Perhaps one of my favorite games in the series. So it'd be nice to see them bring it back. The other thing we've also heard is something Pranay is obviously super interested in, a new Forza Horizon game.
Yeah, so Forza Horizon 4 is rumored to be the game that they're going to announce.
Yes.
I don't know much about this game as of now. I mean, who would expect me to, ideally? But expected to be located in Japan this time?
Yeah, yeah, so they're saying it's Japan this time around, which would make sense because you've already done Australia. You've already done Europe. You've already done the US, which was the first Forza Horizon game. So my point is, what's left? You go to Asia. Why would you go to Asia? That's most picturesque. That would lend itself to a game that's so colorful and over the top. Japan makes logical sense. If you
come on, man. Have you seen Delhi?
We already have Drive Club that has a Chennai level, which is god tier. So I think it's fine for now.
Okay, fine. Just would like, you know, to see a Delhi level with like auto rickshaws roaming around and like disturbing you.
I'm sure there's a Grand Theft Auto mod for that. But yeah, it's pointing towards pointing towards Japan, it's probably going to be made by Playground. So we should see a September release.
Yeah, so while Forza Horizon 3 was amazing, Forza Motorsport 7 was a disappointment on many levels, not least because of the microtransactions involved and the constant prompting for like you to buy those in-game currency coins or whatever
so
that was.
What's going to be interesting is to see if Forza Horizon 4 will follow the same approach. For one simple reason alone. We're at a stage where in a post-Battlefront 2 world, with politicians looking to regulate loot boxes, EA has decidedly taken a step back with Battlefield 5. One of the biggest offenders has decided to take a step back and say, hey, you know, we're going to try changing how things are done. I mean, so who knows? Maybe it'll have a knockdown effect on Microsoft. Maybe they'll finally realize that either we limit it to pure cosmetics or we do it away altogether. Who knows? But incidentally, at the same time, this hasn't had an effect on what Activision does, what Blizzard does. And Ubisoft has picked its battles wisely on this, choosing to announce it for Rainbow Six Siege and then take it back after community feedback. So, I mean, it could go either way, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I personally expect this game, like if they don't do the microtransactions, like if they don't do it as badly as they did in Forza Motorsport 7, I expect this game to be maybe just as good as the Forza Horizon 3 game. Simply because I've seen Forza Horizon 2, like I played Forza Horizon 2 as well, and then 3, and there was a lot of polish that went into 3, which, you know, probably was missing in 2, and visuals wise also it was much, much better. And overall, the game has evolved really nicely.
I think also a lot of it has to do with the production time needed for Forza Horizon 2. Horizon 2 was basically a title that showed up a year after the Xbox One launch. Now, keep in mind, at that time, developers were struggling with getting their games up and running on the Xbox One because you had to make sure Kinect was kept in mind as well. And that a certain amount of allocation in terms of resources on the console were dedicated to Kinect. So, given that in mind, yeah, I do see it. In retrospect, it seems like a compromise, but at the time at launch, it had no competition. So, yeah.
And also at that time, Microsoft was still doing 360 and Xbox One games. So that was likely, I mean, it's almost certainly planned for 360 and then ported to Xbox One later, like with a visual and frame rate bump or more stable frame rate, I'd say. While Forza Horizon 3 was built for Xbox One from the start and then it got a PC version. In fact, it's easy to see that also because it ran pretty badly on low-end PCs while the Xbox
One... And the original Xbox One as well. There were some areas where it would really struggle.
Yeah, I mean, but that wasn't as bad as the CPU requirement on PC. Because the Xbox One and PS4 are using netbook CPUs in the end, while people who had newer i7s and very powerful and high-end ones were having a lot of trouble running it at above 30 FPS.
Yeah, and even the game, after getting a 1X patch, which bumped up resolution and enhanced HDR, it's still one of the best looking games. And that, to me, is a testament to the fact that you've made it for a series of consoles that you have an intimate knowledge of its architecture about. So it reeks of that. And I won't be surprised to see that going forward with Horizon 4. Hopefully, It wouldn't have Microsoft cheaping out on physical media like they did for Forza 7, wherein you had one disc and you still had to download 50 gigabytes or so. So hopefully they learn their lesson and figure that out.
I'm guessing partly that's because that Xbox One X update sort of came a little later, didn't it?
No, it's not just that.
It's they said you'd be able to play core modes or some modes of the game, but you still needed to download it. Kind of like how NBA 2K18 was on the Switch, where you could just play 1v1 or you could just play versus each other, but to actually access everything you needed to download about I believe it was 14 GB or 8 GB somewhere around that time.
Yeah, I really hope they don't mess it up. Forza Horizon 3 was really, really good and almost perfect in pretty much every aspect you can think of as an arcade racing game. I really hope they just build on that and don't try to do something too radical and, break the good streak that they have and all the goodwill they've accumulated in the Forza Horizon series. So, yeah, let's see how that goes.
And the other thing that we might see at Microsoft's event, which has been rumored, is Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. Now, for those of you who are unaware, it's made by a small studio in Poland called CD Projekt Red, who have made just, a small independent game you may have heard of called Witcher 3 The Wild Hunt. So it's a lot of anticipation around it. They've revamped their website. They're going to be at E3. And they're going to be doing a ton of stuff and they're going to be doing a ton of stuff around it. So we should see that. We should also see Shadow of the Tomb Raider at Microsoft's event. Rumor has it that the game is going to be on Xbox Game Pass day one. Now, oh yeah, that's another thing we should expect. Microsoft will talk up how Game Pass is really cool and stuff like that. But I mean, as purveyors of ownership of your games, we wouldn't recommend bothering with Game Pass just yet. So that's just us. Anyway, aside from that, we expect to see Battlefield 5, because Battlefield 5 has a marketing deal with Microsoft, which means it'll be you should see something in terms of early access or timed exclusivity of content for the game on Xbox One. So that's some things you could expect from Microsoft's conference.
Yeah, so while this list did seem like, you know, something really exciting with lots and lots of games, ultimately, I think, barring Forza Horizon 4 and maybe, you know, one of the games between Gears of War 5 and whatever Halo thing they announced, I don't think we're going to have too many like great exclusives here.
And I think that's the reason why we're seeing so many leaks this year, because it's order to keep expectations in check. It's order to normalize what you can expect.
Yeah.
And it's something we've seen in the past with, you know, a certain game called Black Ops 4, making people know ahead of time that, hey, guess what?
There's no single player campaign. Exactly. Yeah.
But one other thing, and this is another possibility, is, and this is one that could possibly outrage a few people, especially those with short-term memories. Kingdom Hearts 3 could be present at Microsoft's event, as could Final Fantasy VII Remake. The reason for this being is that we've seen several stores list Final Fantasy VII Remake for the Xbox One, and it is said, now we don't know, I mean, I'm unclear on this one, but it is said that Kingdom Hearts 3 has a marketing tie-up with Microsoft. And Square Enix being Square Enix tends to do marketing tie-ups with both parties. So with Final Fantasy 15, even though they had a marketing tie-up with Microsoft and showed off the game on Microsoft show floor, Sony still did a PS4 Slim, a limited edition Final Fantasy 15 console. So who knows? But we could see those two being there, because, you know, also the fact that Phil Spencer has been saying that, yes, we will probably see more Japanese games. That and the oft-held rumor of Nier coming to Xbox One, Nier Automata coming to Xbox One being a possibility as well.
Okay. So, I think we can safely now move on to Sony.
Oh, yeah.
Which I expect to be the most boring show this year, because a lot of stuff, they've had a good year so far. God of War has been really good. Spider-Man, no doubt, is going to be good. But there aren't really that many unknowns right now. And they have said, it's not going to be a traditional conference like they usually do, which is like, you know, a big theater-like experience and stuff. And they have also started, at least as of this recording, they're going to slowly reveal one new thing each day, which they've announced leading up to E3. I honestly think it's time for them to have an off year at E3, going by what it is, because there's like, they've announced a lot of stuff, a lot of it hasn't come out yet. So while I do expect Kingdom Hearts 3 to likely get a release date either at Square Enix's show or at the Sony thing, what we should expect at Sony's E3 show is Red Dead Redemption 2 to have a large presence, because Sony has some form of timed exclusivity with the online mode DLC. Destiny 2 is also no doubt going to be there, and they will focus, even though it is really boring to watch Destiny being showcased multiple times over and over again, but they keep doing it. I think that's going to have a lot of showing, in addition to maybe Last of Us 2, and they will focus on Spider-Man, obviously, because that's coming out in a few months.
Yeah, and Days Gone is also their exclusive, right?
Yeah. Days Gone from Bend is coming out at some point next year.
I don't know, the way I'd see it, again, this is just my opinion, and feel free to massacre me for this. I think every year Sony at E3 is an off year, because, there's whatever is talked about never really shows up.
They showed Days Gone in last year's E3 as well.
I don't know. I look at it like Sony's... if I look at it from 2015 onwards, every E3 from Sony has been like Google I.O. You'll have a lot of grandstanding, but only one or two things finally see the light of day.
Well, as long as it's not a fake demo they're showing on stage, I'm cool with
it. Thankfully, everything is running on standard PS4 at their events. So it's really good when it's out. No, but so if we look back, right? 2014 was basically a god tier, probably a really, really... 2013 and 2014 were really good years for them. Whereas in 2013, they showed off the PS4. They showed off the fact that you can buy and sell used games. They basically took massive jabs at Microsoft. And they even showed off Final Fantasy 15 as well, and Kingdom Hearts. So that was really cool at 2013. 2014 was basically them showing a bunch of exclusives, showing Destiny, because they had a huge deal with Destiny. They had a huge deal on Call of Duty. They're talking about that. They're talking about what first party lineup they had. They showed off Uncharted. They showed off one or two. They showed off Drive Club. 2015 was known as more famously known as the E3 of dreams, because they had Shenmue, they had Final Fantasy VII, and they had and Last Guardian, all three shown off on stage. And out of those three, well, Last Guardian finally came out like last year, after 2 years after E3. And then we had Shenmue, which is now going to be out in 2019, release date unknown. And FF7 remake is in limbo, as far as we know, because Square Enix has taken development internally instead of keeping it outsourced to CyberConnect 2, which was the studio who was working on it. So, honestly, we don't know what to... It's good. Then 2016 for them was, you know, first party God of War. 2017 was more of God of War, more of Call of Duty, more of the same, with Days Gone added. So I think this year we may see, as Mike said, yeah, it's going to be even more of an off year. And while a lot of them are known quantities, Ghost of Tsushima, Days Gone, Spider-Man, Last of Us Part 2, these are all known entities. We may have one or two surprises. We could see Bloodborne 2. We know there's demand for a sequel. Everyone wants a sequel. The game's already been available to everyone who's on PS Plus right now. And I think what PS Plus, Mike, has what, 30, 35 million subscribers?
Yeah, it has about, I think, 34 million last when they reported. 34 million paid subscribers. Now,
that's a significant jump over when they had previously reported it.
Yeah, and also 34 million people paying nearly $50 to $60 a year is a lot.
Yes.
In fact, I believe there was a report that Sony's earnings from just their online services is more than, I think, Nintendo's overall for their games or something like that. There was this there's this massive gulf between Nintendo's digital services and Sony. Obviously, Sony's been doing it since PS3, and they've had a lot of time to do this, and like they've been capitalizing on paid online. Nintendo's just dipping their toes into that. But then, like, before going off a tangent, like, having played Mario Tennis's demo online, don't know if that's going to be worth paying $20 a year. But, yeah, I still think there'll be something which they'll surprise people with. There's like, a rumor of Devil May Cry 5 showing up in some form. First, there was a rumor that it was going to be timed exclusive to PS4. Now, there's some post about it being timed exclusive to Xbox One in some form. But given how badly Dead Rising has done for Capcom, I do not see that working out too well for them if they do end up accepting a check from Microsoft for timed exclusivity for Devil May Cry 5. And I'm also pretty disappointed that it'll be Devil May Cry 5 and not DMC Devil May Cry 2, because after, I think Rishi will agree with me, after playing the Devil May Cry HD collection, I want no part of that again.
Yeah, so for those of you who are unaware, the Devil May Cry series, the mainline series, has been around since the PS2 days, 2000, 2001, when the first game came out, directed by Hideki Kamiya, who's now more recently known for the Bayonetta franchise at Platinum Games, as well as everyone's favorite Power Rangers meets Pikmin knockoff, Wonderful 101. So he's the guy who's responsible for Devil May Cry, and he shepherded the franchise for a while, the series for a while. Now, the last game was Devil May Cry 4 before the series got a full reboot. And we had DMC Devil May Cry, which came out in 2013, developed by Ninja Theory, the same guys behind Senua's Sacrifice, behind Heavenly Sword. And it was a pretty edgy, in-your-face game with a really good soundtrack. Like, they had Noisa and Combi Christ, and it was really, really good. And it had some of the laziest but unintentionally funny dialogue too, with a lot of expletives. And it was pretty much a fun game. It was a reboot of the series. However, the fan response was mixed at best. And the fans hated it. It did well, but fans weren't too happy.
It was kind of like, I'd view it as Resident Evil 6. It did very well commercially, but it has a very bad mindshare online right now.
Yeah.
And after having never played the games before and just having played them on PS4 through like remasters and collections and ports, yeah, I was hoping for DMC Devil May Cry 2, because at least the HD collection which they did for DMC 1, 2, and 3 was like one of the laziest ports I've ever played.
Yep.
So why is it called DMC Devil May Cry 2?
Because like, it's capital D, small m, capital C, colon, Devil May Cry, as sort of a reboot for the franchise. Yep. Instead of being just Devil May Cry 5, which is what people have wanted. But I don't know, man, after playing Bayonetta 1 and 2, why would anyone downgrade themselves to Devil May Cry is what I view it as. I mean, Bayonetta 1 was a Kamiya game after all.
But so, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far as to you know, go to that degree. But I would say that, yeah, there is demand. Now, what lends credence to these rumors is the fact that Capcom registered the domain devilmaycry5.com. And at the end of the day, the rumors have been floating around for almost a year and a half now. And the current director of the franchise was working on Dragon's Dogma prior. And he did say that he apologizes that his newest project hasn't been announced yet. Plus, we've had leaks from voice actors and among other things. So it's safe to say we should see it. I agree with Mike that it'd be really tough to see this at Microsoft, most likely at Sony. And I don't think it'll have any form of timed exclusivity, because Capcom is not the sort of company to indulge in that. They didn't do it for Monster Hunter World, which is their most profitable games thus far. They never did it with Resident Evil 7, and I don't think they're going to start doing it now. Unless, of course, there's money hatting involved in terms of development like Street Fighter V.
Street Fighter V was different. It wasn't money hatting as such. It was just like, you know, they wanted someone to help with it, and yeah, Sony showed up. But with Monster Hunter, they did exclusive content like the Horizon Zero Dawn stuff. With Resident Evil, the VR mode is exclusive to PS4. So I'd say something like that might show up as an exclusive, like some mode with Sony if they get marketing or something. But Devil May Cry is not the kind of franchise which like Sony would... I don't think they'd pay for this kind of stuff, because even though a lot of people are like, why doesn't Sony show off Yakuza at E3 and all, like, view it from there, and these games don't sell more than a few hundred thousand at best worldwide. I mean, Yakuza 6 is now, the director said that it's about 800,000 to 900,000 worldwide. This is after releasing in Japan, then Asia, then the rest of the world, and a lot of promotion. While like the return on investment Sony gets for like money hatting a raid in Destiny is probably going to get them much more.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. The other way is that Sony has over the years started staggering out its reveals. So they usually do something at E3, they do something at Paris Games Week, and they do something at PlayStation Experience, where they end up dropping announcements. They don't limit it just to E3. So who knows? I mean, there's also a possibility they could just hold back some of this for some of these events later down the year.
Okay. So while I do agree with both of you saying that E3 is probably not the most exciting place for if you're a PlayStation person.
There is one thing, which I wouldn't be surprised to see at E3 from Sony is who knows, we might just see a permanent price card on the Pro. We might see a permanent price card on the PS4.
Yeah, so as far as games are concerned, like, I don't even know if you know people should bother with watching the Sony E3 keynote or whatever, because like, let's be honest here, like, PlayStation 4, it gets really good games, and every year we see like some really nice exclusives. I think this year last year we had two Yakuza games, right? We had Yakuza 0 and Kiwami.
Yeah.
Then this year we are getting two more. I mean, one is already out, Yakuza 6.
And Kiwami 2.
Kiwami 2 is out, yeah. Last year we had Persona 5 and Nier Automata. So the exclusives, they just keep dropping in, and you know, some of them are like really 9/10 or 10/10 quality. That's not something you can say on the Microsoft side of things, can you? So overall, as long as the games are coming in, I'm not too bothered about whether the E3 press conference is going to be exciting
exactly.
or not.
Exactly. I mean, and if you think about it, if in India at least, a lot of games, even though they come on the Xbox One, they're essentially exclusive to PS4 in India. Like in the case of, you know, Metal Gear Survive, which never got an Xbox One release.
And even when games do release on Xbox and they have like, you know, deals like Divinity Original Sin 2 currently is available in game preview, basically like a timed exclusive trial, I'd say. So Xbox fans can try it out before it launches for everyone on PS4 and Xbox. We can't actually play it because for some reason Bandai Namco Entertainment has not put it up for sale in India on Xbox Live. The same thing applies to Dark Souls 2. So even though, like, you know, we've said this in the past as well, Rishi and I, like, a lot of us double dip on games on PS4 and Xbox, you can't do that without having to resort to imports in a lot of cases. Like, if you look at Super Bomberman R, which was a year exclusive on Switch, it's releasing on PC, PS4, and Xbox in a few days now. It's only going to be available on PS4 physically in India, not Xbox. So it's a little annoying to deal with these things, because even though Sea of Thieves got all that marketing push, Sea of Thieves, big Game Pass game, Sea of Thieves is going to be... this year's PUBG or something, people said. I remember reading something about that. It wasn't available in India at retail. So, yeah, I don't see the point of all of this happening, because regardless of what they keep showing in India, it's just going to be painful to deal with these things. You're going to have to either go digital, and in some cases you can't even go digital. So
So like
Fortnite.
Forget Fortnite. Fortnite, yeah. Fortnite was one major example, and something Epic Games has even told us on record that Fortnite isn't the thing for India because no servers. And the other thing is, like, even if you go digital on certain games like Elder Scrolls Online, your update sizes are 90 gigabytes. And this is something I experienced last night, which means you have to essentially download the whole
game. Yeah, and if I remember this correctly, I think even Sonic Mania was not on Xbox One at launch on the digital store in India.
But I mean, regardless of the E3 showing of Sony, it's going to be business as usual. People are still going to end up buying games on PS4 because that's the dominant platform.
Yeah. And dominant by such a margin that Xbox is like nowhere in sight, at least not in India.
Yep.
Well, let's hope this changes in the near future, because competition is always good.
Yep.
All right, so Nintendo then, since we spoke about Fortnite, now apparently that's coming to the Switch.
Yeah, yes. So it got rated in Korea. The Korean ratings board has leaked a lot of interesting stuff for this E3. One of them being Sunset Overdrive coming to PC, which sort of implies it'll finally get the Xbox One X patch as well. Fortnite got rated for a Switch release, and there have been like rumors here and there that Iron Galaxy is working on a port of Fortnite for Switch through job listings and just, you know, their website when everything's been denied. As of this recording a few hours ago, like data miners and other people found Fortnite files on Nintendo's eShop server along with an icon, which sort of implies that it might be one of those E3 surprises where they're like, oh, Fortnite's coming to Switch and you can download it after the Nintendo Direct. So that would be a huge deal if it does happen. But given it's rated for release in Korea, it's happening, because in the past, unlikely releases like Guilty Gear, Xrd, Sign got rated for PC months before it got officially announced. And after these things showed up on the eShop servers, I think, yeah, it's going to happen. And it's going to be available directly. There was one slide which leaked, which was of the games which would be playable at Nintendo's E3. Some of the games, I'd say, not all of them, which also had Overcooked 2, which makes sense considering Overcooked is this game which is like a party game. You have to work together in a kitchen to cook and like multitask and like resource management and stuff like that. It did really well on Switch. I think it crossed 500,000 sales in a few months.
Yeah, so, it's basically Mario Party but with food.
So having that being shown off at Nintendo's E3 Direct would make sense. It might also even be console timed exclusive or something like that. There was another leak for Paladins coming to Switch. Now, people have data mined Paladins on PC and found Joy-Con images for controls and charts like that. So, that kind of also makes sense. But there was another interesting thing. What is it? Killer or something?
Killer Queen Black, which is a Japanese arcade game. That's probably coming to the Switch as well. And what's interesting, at least coming back to Fortnite for a second, is aside from being seen on rating boards and, you know, icons being uploaded on Nintendo's own eShop that have been data mined, all this stemmed from the fact that the game was seen on a program sheet for E3, for Nintendo's E3. And on that sheet, and after that leaked on 4chan, of all places, Destructoid went on record saying that, yeah, oh, by the way, all this stuff is true because there are other games which are also there and have been talked about that we know are true. So that's how they went. But
yeah, I mean,
because A is equal to B, therefore B is equal to C.
Yeah,
okay.
Their quote was like really strange. Okay, like I saw that Destructoid report and they essentially said that we have embargoed information about some of the other games mentioned in this list.
So we believe this should be correct.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if you have embargoed information, you're not supposed to talk about it, man. Come on.
And then wait, it gets better. And then after that, we had the Lord and Protector of video games journalism, Jason Schreier. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I mean, he is basically our light in darkness, man. The guy, like,
yeah, I mean, he's pissed off so many companies with his journalism that, you know, I really like him now.
I mean, aside from fanboying around Jason Schreier, he did bring up the fact that I think it was him or someone from Kotaku, I could be wrong, but that Fortnite is coming to Switch and will be at the Nintendo showcase because they had people close to the company, close to the game, who said that it's the case. And as Mike said, yes, Iron Galaxy may actually be working on it. Now, there's also one other possibility on what we might see at Nintendo. Now, this is, depending who you ask, I mean, one possibility is Diablo coming to Switch. But it's most likely that that could be announced at Blizzard's own event at BlizzCon, because Blizzard usually doesn't do anything at E3.
Yeah.
So that's there. That aside, I mean, expect Super Smash Brothers. It's obviously Nintendo said it much ahead of time. That's going to be a part of it. So we're going to probably see character roster, probably going to see how it's going to integrate with its online service when it launches. Who knows? We might even see some accessories for it.
Amiibo
as well. Expect them to lift the lid on what to expect from Metroid Prime, which is rumored to be called Metroid Prime Renegade. They're dropping 4. And expect to see information they've already said that this entire Direct is going to be purely on the Switch. So don't expect anything on the Nintendo 3DS, sadly. So which means we could also see more information on Pokemon 2019, which is really interesting because the Pokemon company just announced Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu, which will also be at this Direct. So expect them to tease the fact that, or continue teasing the fact that Pokemon 2019 is a traditional Pokemon game, is going to go back to hardcore roots and stuff like that. So we expect them to talk that up as well.
And while they have called this the E3 Nintendo Direct, there will be multiple days of Treehouse showings where they'll be playing the games which have been announced, which are still coming soon. They'll probably be playing Octopath Traveler because that's a month away. Also Mario Tennis because that's now a few weeks away. But they've specifically said that the games will be only stuff which is releasing in 2018. Now, when they said that last year, they announced Bayonetta 3, which hasn't been dated. It's probably a 2019 game. They also showed off, they just revealed a logo for Metroid Prime 4.
Actually, Bayonetta was at the Game Awards in December.
Metroid Prime 4 was at E3 last year, and that is just a logo. It's probably releasing next year or the year after that. So while they did say this year is going to be focused on 2018 stuff, they might show off stuff to expect later. And even though they have said this will be Switch focused, do not expect them to completely forget the 3DS, because last year they did a nice 2D remake of Metroid Samus Returns of Metroid 2, which was originally on the Game Boy, I believe.
Yeah, and a couple of other things that were leaked was a F-Zero game. F-Zero is a futuristic racer that predates Wipeout. And super fast, has its roots in the SNES era. So the last F-Zero game, if I'm not mistaken, was on the GameCube. They haven't done anything after that, if my memory serves me correct. So, which is why the rumor mill says that we might see F-Zero coming back, allegedly being developed by Platinum Games. Expect to see some stuff around Bayonetta 3. And also expect to see, now again, part of the rumor mill is a new Star Fox game. I think Star Fox Lilac Battle or Star Fox Adventure or something. So now a Star Fox game would be interesting because the last game, Star Fox Zero, was pretty much derided for its tacked on controls and could have been a better game without them. So who knows? That's what we could expect from Nintendo. But honestly, given the way that we've seen so many leaks prior to E3, stuff around Fallout 76, which will obviously be at Bethesda's showcase, stuff around Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which will be shown off at Ubisoft's showcase, stuff like Anthem, which EA has already also said is going to be at their showcase. There leaves very little to the imagination. And it's kind of comes as no surprise because we're at that stage in the console lifecycle where it's business as usual. This year is business as usual. There's not going to be any major surprises. But having said that, it also means we're at that stage in the console lifecycle where the developers have already started getting their hands on next-gen dev kits, or if not getting their hands on them, at least having serious discussions with Sony, with Microsoft, on what to expect from next-gen. So in that way, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised to see this being a kind of a, you know, business as usual, lamer year than last year. But having said that, that doesn't mean that people are going to stop buying games. People are going to still buy games. People are going to still check out what's there. And it also means that E3 isn't that big a draw as it used to be. I won't be surprised to see some more major reveals through the year, maybe at TGS, perhaps at Sony's own event because they'd want to stagger things out, and maybe at Blizzard's own event as well, at BlizzCon. So, yeah, I mean, if you're expecting some major revelations like an Xbox 2X or a PS5, that's not going to be this year.
Yeah, I'd really be surprised if they call it Xbox 2X.
Retina display, man.
So, yeah, I think with that in mind, temper your expectations.
Yeah, so looking like Forza Horizon 4 and a sea of disappointment as of now.
So basically Sea of Thieves. So, personally, just looking forward to Final Fantasy VII Remake and Kingdom Hearts 3 because I'm a sucker for punishment. And I really hope that we get one of these this year because Square Enix don't leave me hanging.
Last of Us 2 is something I want to play because I finished the first one and I really like the storytelling in that.
So that's just you. You truly are the Last of Us because Mike and I have finished it too and I don't think we're ready for another game.
Not looking forward to it much.
So Mike, what are you looking forward to from E3 2018?
Hopefully some Dragon Quest 11 footage because that's releasing in September. In fact, I'd be totally okay if Square Enix cancels Shadow of the Tomb Raider to like market Dragon Quest 11 more, but sadly that's not how the world works.
Yeah, I mean, you have a talking shark boss. 10 on 10.
So outside of Dragon Quest 11, looking forward to Bethesda's thing actually, which is really surprising considering I didn't actually care much about their output a few years ago. But looking forward to watching their thing live, hopefully seeing Doom 2 or a reboot of Doom, or sequel to that, I'd say. Best case would be Doom 1 and 2 Classic being ported to Switch, finally portable properly or something like that. And Nintendo showing hopefully the last two Wii U ports which I want on Switch, Tokyo Mirage Sessions and Xenoblade Chronicles X. There's also a rumor of the Metroid Prime trilogy. I was just gifted a copy of it, so it makes sense for it to show up on Switch now because that's how the world works. And honestly, not looking forward to much from Sony and Microsoft unless they do things to piss off the fanboys. That would be lovely.
Oh, yeah.
So,
speaking of fanboys getting pissed off, PUBG, one thing we forgot to talk about was PUBG PS4, which may happen, which may be shown off at E3.
I don't think it'll happen so soon because it's technically still exclusive while in game preview. And last I played it on Xbox, it's not even close to being in a state to leave game preview. So let's see, that remains to be seen.
Yep.
But yeah, that would be a big showing. But given PUBG is now best on phones, I don't really care what happens to the PS4 version.
Yeah.
About you, Pranay? Are you looking forward to staying up and watching all the conferences live?
Man,
Just
I'm
Dance
like,
2019, man.
Look, I'm still recovering from like complete loss of sleep thanks to WWDC. Next week is going to be killer. Let's just like leave it at that.
Hype.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. Do send in your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. Now, if you like this show, don't forget to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or on the Google app on your smartphone, on your Android phone actually, where you can just go to the Google app and search for Transition Podcast Gadgets360 to find us and subscribe to us. The music for this podcast comes via Magnus Solai Paulson, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.